dream. I used to read Wizard magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 436. A lively bunch at the table today. It's been a day. A night and a day. Mike is not here tonight, so I wanted to quickly give his reviews so we don't have to wait for him. Hold on.
Oh, you can just mail your stuff in now?
You can if you want, sure.
Oh, I didn't know.
Sure,
that.
Yeah.
What are we even doing here, guys?
Okay, it was Batgirl 50 sucked, Colonel Weird was really good, and The Last Ronin was awesome. So, those are his reviews.
I'll talk more about Colonel Weird then.
So that's a podcast. Oh, wait, no. And joining me tonight are actual people at the table are...
Dave.
Pat.
Brandon.
Spencer.
So, any news? I didn't really see any news. I have a question involving a news article that I'll get to, but I really didn't see a thing.
I don't remember seeing anything.
No.
Not actual comic books.
No. I mean, there's other news going
Kickstarters
on.
Kickstarters and rumors.
Yeah.
There are no rumors. It's just truths that haven't happened yet.
Ooh. Thank you, Obi-Wan. The question we had, it was from Zach asking about DC, or Bleeding Cool had an article about the new DC Omniverse, where they're going to have a very loose continuity going forward and stuff.
Opposed to that tight knit,
right. Well,
currently working.
The way it works is a lot of things where it's like, oh, you can't use that character because they're doing this or things like that. And in this case, it's more they can do whatever they want. Which I mean, yeah, that's normally how it is. Generally, you try not to use dead characters, but but and then he's asking if it's trying to push. Uncouple itself from comic stores and push more towards the bookstore market. That I don't know. I still think that would be foolish, only because we are all really good salesmen for them, and the bookstore market isn't. They pretty much just put their books on the shelves, and that's about it. The guy at Barnes & Noble isn't going to be sitting there going, oh, you got to read this, it was awesome.
Especially considering how like a lot of bookstores are hurting worse than like
right. Oh, and Barnes and Noble isn't exactly the strongest guy out there, or Books a Million.
They're a great distribution model,
absolutely,
but not a great sales
model. And I don't think they realize how much work they're going to have to do to promote their stuff. Like, we just got a new book today. I forget what it was. I think it was Victor and Nora, a love story, and has two people kissing on the cover. It's like, you put that in Barnes & Noble, nobody's going to have a clue what that is.
And they certainly don't know that that's Mr. Freeze.
That's what I mean. So it's like you have no idea what it is. So they don't, you know, they're not helping themselves even with their titling of their books. So, yeah, I think it's misguided personally.
Well, who are those books aimed at? Because they're not aimed at comic book fans.
No, I mean, it's for YA. They're trying to hit the YA market that's blowing up, which is great. But it's like the book market. Stephen King's name sells himself. But other people have to work. They have to, you know, get promotion. They have to, you know, get attention, get reviews, all that work.
Is Red Hood there somewhere?
Red Hood's over there.
Right, but if you're gonna go through, we're going to do a Victor and Nora book.
Right.
Who are you targeting?
Right,
because
yeah.
Batman people aren't going to care.
Right.
And people outside are like, okay. I mean, and it's teenage, you know.
Yeah, no, no.
These are it's not even Mr. Freeze.
Right. It's young Mr. Freeze. Yeah. No, I get it. So I don't know. But, I mean, even in the YA market, they have a couple superstars like, you know, Dogman and Reyna. But beyond that, what?
Did you start recording?
Yeah.
That Mitch Gerard thing was hilarious.
What?
Thing you texted me with Mitch Gerard's replying to Trump.
Okay, I don't think that was me.
Okay.
Sorry.
Can't find anything.
I can't.
So
but yeah,
Dog
but
Man and what?
Right, Dogman and Raina Telgemeier, they're like big stars. They're you know, Stephen King and Danielle Steele. But DC's kind of coming into the market at the bottom, and they need to make a name for themselves, but they don't. They just feel, if we just put the books on the shelves, that's all we need to do.
Right, but if the idea is to, here, we have this character people know and people love, but we're not going to tell you, it's the Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's, oh, you know how much you love Darth Vader? Well, imagine what he was like when he was 7.
How many people love Mr. Freeze?
If you're from my generation,
okay,
and you had the Batman the Animated Series,
okay,
his character was made very compelling.
Okay, but that's still,
but I don't,
that's
know,
a minor subset of a subset.
I get that. But a teenager, or you know, a young, you know, a tween, isn't going to give a damn.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, in general, I understand wanting to do stories to have a broader audience, get away from the continuity, get away from needing, you know, to know everything about a character. And they tried that with New 52, and it didn't. It worked well for a while,
yeah,
until people realized, hey, I kind of like that continuity. I like the history of these characters. I liked, you know, that the Titans had done all these different things instead of just being, oh, they're just now a random group of kids.
They only partially did that, though, because Green Lantern and Batman never lost continuity.
Right, those two didn't, but that was also their biggest sellers at the time. Whereas Justice League needed a hard,
yeah,
hard reboot. So yeah, I don't know. I'm guessing we're going to get something at the end of Metal, that's going to lead into this, because, well, it's going to lead into future
slate. Was in the birth of the new god, or the rise of the new god. The,
oh, okay. I didn't read that one yet. Okay.
We got, the Chronicler showed up, and he's apparently, the Omniverse's version of Metron.
Okay.
He doesn't sit on a chair, but he chronicles dying multiverses. That's his.
So ours is gonna die and be reborn. Isn't that what happened in Metal?
Well, no, but that's so. See, now
I thought there were only 52 multiverses.
No, that's 52 multiverses, but those
now there's an Omniverse.
A part of an overarching Omniverse. He goes.
And that's a universe for people who eat meat and vegetables?
Yes.
Exactly. Which is called normal. But, and now I'm getting to reviewing the book. So he talks to Metron, who basically says, yeah, I already know what's going on here. Kind of like me, you're finding this compelling and you're deciding that you're going to interfere, and that's basically what's going to happen. Because in the book, it has the god who laughs and Perpetua are fighting one another, and what he realizes is it's going to destroy the multiverse. And what I think happened is they're realizing, oh, we kind of wrote ourselves into a corner here. How do we get out of it? I know this is part of a much bigger story. We'll just use this to kind of wipe it out. Because you took the Batman who laughs, and then you made him Dr. Manhattan. That doesn't really work.
I mean, yeah, early in that issue, they were throwing planets at each other.
Yes. Yeah.
That happens. Well, that's like in the Marvel Universe at the end of Secret War. Secret War. Where Franklin was making the planets and Mr. Fantastic was throwing them into their places. Yeah.
That was Secret Wars.
Wars. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you're right. You're right.
Like, yeah. Because I read that, and I read it in issues. I'm like, I didn't read Secret War issues. I might have had some of the toys, though.
Okay. Well, the newest one, whatever it was called.
I feel like they're solving problems they don't have.
Correct. Because some suit saw a problem, and no one could explain it to him well enough to get around it. But I agree.
Because I feel like if you put out a Justice League book that had, like, that, you know, the same cast as, like, the Steve Giffen
mm-hmm.
Justice League, like, that would be a huge seller, just because they haven't done anything right. Like that.
Yep. And they wouldn't have to worry about continuity and, well, gosh, Blue Beetle's in there, but he's been dead. Well, he just showed up in Suicide Squad without explanation. Who cares?
So it's like,
yeah, no, I
like,
agree.
That's, you know, I'm sick of crap like Metal and big events. Just give me, like, the Justice League.
Just wait, they're going to add 5 more issues to Metal. Oh, wait, sorry.
Yeah, but I love that.
I'm so looking forward to next week. It's extreme with 3 X's and exclamation point.
Triple Extreme?
Triple Extreme. With Lobo. It's Lobo's retelling of his stories as he remembers them. Because everybody loves Lobo.
Yeah, because there's an honest narrator.
So, I hope that answers your question, Zach.
They need to get rid of that bass titch thing. That is just the worst.
You just don't love Lobo, man.
Well, see, Lobo is fine. Like, a space biker can be cool and has utility in stories.
Original Lobo, not the skinny Lobo.
Yeah, not New 52 Lobo.
Yeah, still remember Spandex Lobo when he first showed up in Omega Man. So. Old school.
Okay.
He was on an episode of that show, Krypton. Did anybody see that? Lobo was in
an episode. I didn't watch season 2.
I heard about
two,
it, but I never saw it.
I saw that one, yeah.
Do you remember...
He's supposed to get his own show out of that. But they canceled it.
Yeah, it didn't work.
Do you remember, I think it was like Action Comics 700 or something, where it came with like a bunch of stickers?
Yeah, with the color forms.
Yeah, and you could like...
I don't know if it was 700, but yeah, I remember.
Like,
yeah, it had a thing where you could play out their battle. It was literally color forms. Yeah,
maybe it was Adventures because I think
it was something.
It was back when there were 4 Superman titles.
Yeah,
yeah, I remember that because like half of the stickers were Lobo. Like you could like put his arm in different positions.
I didn't see that.
Come on, Dave.
I know, I should have it.
You should. Well,
how long ago was it?
I'll see what I can do for it. That was 90s.
That would have been like 94, 95.
Really?
Because it would have been like.
I should have.
It would have been like long-haired Superman.
Okay. I'll see what I can come up with.
They missed the color form boat by about 8-10 years though. That was like
well, I don't know if it was officially that, but that's basically what it was.
I was in with color forms.
Yeah.
So that's about
did
it.
We answer that question?
I think we did. Yeah, I mean, I don't know what they're doing. I think they're doing something they didn't really need. Like you said, a problem that didn't need addressed, and then I don't know if they're trying to get away from us. They might be. I think they're trying to get into the book market more than they're trying to get away from us. It was really annoying when Jason Fabok tweeted a picture of the Barnes & Noble exclusive Batman 3 Jokers that comes with lithographs and stuff, and he's like, this is so cool. I'm like, yeah, it's awesome. Thanks. How many issues did they sell? Oh, that's right. They don't carry comics. Okay.
That's another thing. Like, you're going to have your YA DC superheroes book right next to a Batman 3 Jokers book where the Joker's looking psychotic on the cover. And it's like...
Yeah, or they're going to have their YA books right next to the Babysitter's Club in the YA section that's going to... The people there are going to be like, what's that? You know, just...
But I feel like...
And again, no promotion because they don't do any promotion of that stuff.
But like so much of DC stuff is pursuing... that like Black Label, Dark Knight kind of market.
Yep, they're looking. You know, Black Label makes sense. They want to create, evergreen books that will always be around, which makes sense. But then who knows what they're doing with that now?
Yeah. Well, the other question is, if I'm Barnes and Noble, what do I get for DC? Like, if it doesn't sell, I send it back. So
right.
I don't care about that.
Discount it like 55%.
Yeah,
right.
What's my margin on that? Is it that much better where I'm like, okay, yeah, I really want to push these books over, the next Tom Clancy book or, whatever. Like, no, it's a book. They're offering it.
Yep. So I don't know. I don't know.
It's in your best interest to get the books out of here. It's not theirs. They don't give a shit.
Oh, right. I'm like, I don't want to get DC out of here.
No. But then when the book comes in, it's your best to sell it and get it out of here. And then, if it's something like Watchmen.
I'm taking pre-orders and everything. And it's like, are those YA books, are they going to get pre-orders for that stuff? I don't get it.
No, I mean, you can pre-order. But...
Right, but how do people know about it?
Well, that's just it. Yeah.
I give you guys a preview. Oh, wait, DC's not in there anymore either.
Yeah.
I will say the last one I read for November was much better. They actually got it so it was a PDF and it scrolled up. So you could scroll that way, where the other one you went sideways. But it was... it wasn't formatted well. Well, before I was looking at it on the laptop because it wouldn't load on the computer, and it was horrible on the laptop.
Okay.
Because it was really formatted for a phone or a tablet. But the last one I was able to open on the phone, and it scrolled up instead of going sideways. So that was, it was easier to use. But overall, trying to sell print product via digital doesn't make a whole lot of sense. That's just me.
Trying to solve a problem that doesn't exist.
Yeah, pretty much. Like, printing those DC catalogs can't have been that much.
No, not if you already have relationships with publishers or with printers where you're printing all the time anyway.
I mean, like, and how many copies of previews do they actually put out?
The other thing I don't understand is, why do they have to have their stuff outside of previews?
They decided to do that at one point, maybe because Marvel had their own. I think part of it was, when it was in previews, they sent all their files to Diamond, and then Diamond formatted it in the book, and maybe they didn't like that and wanted to have more control. I don't know.
But here's the thing. If Diamond's going to take that cost, and it's going to be Diamond
producing, right. Well, I'm catalog, sure they paid X amount to be in previews. I don't know what that is.
Renegotiate your deal with Diamond that says, hey, you do all the catalogs for us. And
they did.
We just,
they said, you do nothing now.
Yeah. But,
you know, like, to me, it's just, it's so dumb to not be in the main book.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree.
It's a pain. Because I don't know how many times, like, that Marvel insert has, like, you know, disappeared. And I have no idea where it went.
And 3 weeks later, I find it in the back seat of my car.
Yeah,
because it,
yeah.
It
no, I get it. I don't. Those are answers I do not have.
And without the previews, I don't know which books to pre-order, which I know puts you in a predicament, but also puts me in a predicament where,
I
guess I'm not getting it. If I'm not getting number one, I guess I'm not going to get number
two. Yeah, or I don't know what's coming out, and I don't know the books just because I haven't had that casual look at it. I haven't had to order it. I haven't gone, oh gosh, yeah, I had 22 orders for that. Good. So I'm going to order a good bit. I have no idea about that until it's coming out.
Yes, I know about Batman.
Right.
I know, you know, but there.
But like this other side of the DC universe. How the heck do I order this? A prose book, you know? No clue. So we order low, and they get lower numbers. To my bad stitches, yes.
I just gave you your title.
Yeah. Fair enough. I will write that down because I will not remember that in the morning.
It'll be another sitting, talking, talking about sitting.
Hey now. I'm not going to re-listen to the whole thing to hopefully hear some nugget of wisdom.
I think you'd find
he has no recollection of anything that was said.
Pretty much, no.
No, when he walks out the door Wednesday evening, it's kind of...
No, I'm good until I get home, and once I hit the sofa.
Oh, okay.
That's it, because that's when the rum gets opened. Oh, wait, never mind. Pat.
Yeah.
What'd you read?
Well, I already talked about the one. So, the book was The New Gods.
Oh, okay.
It was fine.
Okay.
It wasn't great.
I didn't read that one.
It was fine.
One of the... Well, the Flash one was okay.
The Flash one I liked.
The Multiversity's End I thought was really good. Yeah. I really liked that one.
Robin King was interesting. It was okay. But it wasn't great.
Yeah, it also didn't make a ton of sense.
See, I was okay with Robin King. This one, meh. Because it just made the character too powerful.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like what happened... when they did the Spider-Verse thing with Scuba Steve, it was the same thing. They made him too powerful and had to do a cheap ending because they were like, oh, shit, we wrote ourselves into a corner. Now what do we do?
Scuba Steve.
Yep, good old Scuba Steve. But it was fine. Batgirl 50, I second Mike's. It just was not good.
It was the first appearance of a new character in a TV show. What are you talking about?
It was not good. Anybody else read that? Okay, well, good, because it just went good. Batman 3 Jokers number 3.
I read that. Yep.
That was a number 3 for sure.
I didn't think it was horrible.
I think it would have worked a lot better as an OGN.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Because 1 and 2 were weak. And then this wrapped up things that weren't brought up in 1 and 2.
Yeah, I mean, the idea that he knew who the real Joker was the whole time and all that. Like,
What was the point of the extra two Jokers, and were they just made from normal people?
Yeah.
And they couldn't... It just made no sense.
Well, I thought that's where the, like, one was a criminal, one was a...
Comedian, the criminal, and...
Yeah, but, like, they would have had different DNA, different, you know, everything.
Right, but the chemical...
Changed them. The Joker is more the chemical than the person, because that's kind of what the argument is. Then it's more.
But that is the argument with the Batman Who Laughs too. That it was the chemical that made him the Joker. But following that, if whoever the original Joker was, okay, he's the Joker. He's evil, whatever, whatever. But the two that became the Joker after him. Can they really be held responsible for what they did? Because he turned them into that.
Yeah, just like there wasn't enough there to explain that part of it.
Yeah.
And just, oh, this is the history of Joker and Bat. Yeah, we know that. You know, there wasn't anything...
But at its core, it's a profoundly stupid idea.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think he had a neat idea for it 4 years ago, but so much had changed, and I also feel... He doesn't work at DC anymore, and he was just phoning this in.
Yeah. Well, the other thing that bothered me is what they essentially said was the origin story of the Joker that we saw in The Killing Joke was the correct origin story. Which one bothers me because it's better that we don't know, and it's better that it always changes. Even though I love The Killing Joke. But... The thing that sets him over the edge is the fact that his wife and unborn child died. And
no, they didn't.
So, yeah, now they didn't. And
but you'd think Joker would have been able to figure that out.
But not only that. This was all pre-Joker. He wasn't even really the Red Hood. The Red Hood was just mm-hmm. something they gave him, you know, so he could take the blame for the robbery. But the police have no reason... to hide that wife and son. He wasn't abusive from, you know, he was a loser, but he wasn't abusive. He wasn't a threat to the child. He wasn't a threat to, why would they take him away and hide them? That makes absolutely no sense.
Now it's also kind of like setting up Son of the Joker.
Son of a Joker.
I'm not reading that. I refuse.
Nope. F that. I'm not reading it. One horrible, one great.
Nope, hang on. Here's Tim chiming in. My issue with Three Jokers is that they set up the mystery 4 years ago, and then Three Jokers kind of scolded us for wanting to know the answer to the mystery that they set up. Yeah.
Is this broadcasting live?
Yes, yeah. This is broadcasting live from Tim in the bathroom.
years ago. I thought he left.
Thanks for your contribution, Tim.
Uh-huh. I thought Jason really got the short end of the stick on that one at the end. Like,
and he can't even use good tape?
Yeah.
You know,
he pours his heart out.
Like, there's no bad tape that's really sticky.
Utility belt tape.
Yeah. You know, I'm ready to give up the hood. And
I wouldn't see Batman using generic tape.
But she's Becker. Like, shoot her an email.
Yeah. Dear Baz.
Yeah.
That sets up that I poured my heart out to you and you ignored me.
It's and like, I love how, like, in the letter he builds in, like, if you don't, if you're not with me on this, just never reference it ever again.
Yeah. I'm cool with it. It'll be fine.
That's the way we handle this. Just, you know.
Well, that's like just another weird thing with the whole series. It's like it felt like it was like an Elseworld kind of story.
Yeah.
That it didn't tie into like that, you know, the original 52 like concept of the idea and stuff.
Well, and you know, Bab's whole thing. Well, you know, if you ever kill again, I'll take the mask off.
Well,
you won't.
Well, she said. She called Commissioner Gordon dad while in the bat outfit this issue.
Yeah, but that to me, it came across that kind of as surprised. She was being sarcastic. Like, okay, because he told her what to do. And then she was like, okay, dad. Mm. Like, you know, it's ironic because we know who she is. But I think she was saying it to be sarcastic. That was how I took it anyway. Let's see. Shang-Chi.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
Anybody read Shang-Chi?
Not yet, no.
No.
Okay.
I was waiting for the movie.
Oh, okay. No. You wait a while. It just, you know, continues on with the story where he's going. Him and his sister reunite. They have a great day together.
He has
and
a
they,
sister?
Yep, that's...
Yeah,
the,
Mother
yeah.
Hammer or...
Yeah, Hammer
Mother
something.
Hammer
else, yeah.
is
the bald one.
Sister.
From in the end of the first issue, she's trying to kill him.
Oh.
Well, we'll get to that. First, they have a good day together. They eat, they reminisce. And then he was a big fan of these crystal cakes when he was a kid. And apparently, that kind of led him to betray his father, which is what caused his sister to get sent off to the House of Hammers. Well, she feeds him these crystal cakes, and they were poisoned. But he overcomes the poison, and
he's been eating that poison for years to build up a tolerance.
Something like that. But now he's going off to... he's like hallucinating and seeing his father, who looks like Raiden from Mortal Kombat now. Not Christopher Lambert, but like the video game version of Raiden. So it's a decent story. Department of Truth number 2.
I like that. Yeah. A little different. Very different from the first issue.
Yeah, it's not that I didn't like it, but the first issue really hooked me, especially that twist at the end. Not that I think that they could have topped that.
No. And that might have been a point of this was a step back from that, and then I think issue 3 they'll swing back up. But this was more getting him involved with the conspiracy theories and why this might be a little more important to him.
More of a personal story.
I did enjoy introducing the other people in the department. I thought that was fun, the guy with the tinfoil hat and stuff. I enjoyed that. And it was funny. I know some people didn't like the art. I really liked the art. That was definitely like 90s Vertigo.
Yeah, I do too.
Books of Magic almost art, kind of, you know, just the... I reading a lot of Hellblazer, definitely many arcs had this style art, so...
Yeah.
But I know some people have been like, oh, I can't deal with the art.
I'm no, like, I
like
thought it was...
Oh, no.
The art was fine. Yeah. The story, it just...
But like, I even love the end where it was like, and then the devil stepped out, and it was the lady with the X's on the eyes. And it was just like,
It didn't have the same... No, it didn't. The first one just took my breath away.
No.
This one didn't. But it
didn't.
It was fine.
Yeah.
And the last one I'll talk about is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles The Last Ronin.
But you're not going to believe this. I read that.
Yep.
Okay, so I'm with Mike. That was awesome. The first time I've read a Turtles book in an issue. I've read trades, but first one. And it was so good. I called it. It was Michelangelo.
I could not tell you a single difference between any of them, so...
Well, no, here's because he was the baby of them, so I knew that the other three would die to protect him.
Gotcha.
So I knew it had to be him.
Colin, Michelangelo
is
a party dude.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay, see, I don't...
He's the orange one.
He's the orange one. I read it in black and white, so that means nothing to me.
He's a nunchuck one.
Okay.
He likes pizza.
Well, they all like pizza, so that's not really... That one on his shirt, that's Leonardo.
Okay.
Again,
in black and white,
it wouldn't make any difference,
right,
but it's blue.
But nunchuck, that's how you differentiate
nunchuck.
Them
that's
with different weapons.
Nunchuck.
But again, I was reading it in, what, 1986, 85, 84?
It came out in 84.
84, yeah.
Oh, well, aren't you just old school?
I am.
But the story is... About 10 years ago, someone had killed the other three turtles, and we find
they're
out
they're still
that
there. They're talking to them.
Yeah, that was a little Moon Knight, which I liked. We find out that the person responsible was Karai's
son. Shredder's grandson.
Yeah.
I don't think it's going to turn out well for him.
She's not... She's dead, but she's not?
Yeah, I think she's like... He hooked up to some kind of weird, like, machine kind of keeping her alive.
Yeah, but what I don't get is, like, is he trying to save her, or is he keeping her alive to torture her?
I'm thinking something more like along that line, or to show her like how much of a better job that he's doing of controlling.
I'm a better shredder.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. But
super
this,
shredder.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not Kevin Nash.
No.
But you know, the whole thing is about Michelangelo going and he's trying to infiltrate.
It's kind of like a heist, kind of, almost. Like, it has that. He's not going in there to steal anything, but he's sneaking around.
Well, he's got one to go kill this, this guy. He finally said, you know, said, today's the day I'm going to do it. There's a character, Jones, who, as soon as I saw it, I'm like, okay, well, that's Casey Jones' daughter, which means, you know, April's around somewhere. He steals her motorcycle to get into the... It's like a fortress, or it's like a building, almost.
Yeah.
It's almost like the Raid.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah. But there's, you know, regular mousers, super mousers. He makes his way up to the top and gets his ass kicked and thrown out a window. But does not die.
No.
Because he's, you know, they make it a really short buck.
Yeah.
That would have been such a an F you to the audience. He makes all the way at the top, last page just shows a dead turtle.
That's the podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just the last page is him drinking toter soup.
Yeah, exactly. Thanksgiving with the Shredders. Yeah. They're all eat turtle soup. But Mikey wakes up in a hospital bed.
Well, what I like too is, and I forget what it's called, but he was getting ready to do the thing with the, like the samurais or the whenever they like dishonor and they, you know, and they go to try to, you know, to kill themselves to so they wouldn't, you know, to save their honor. And he was getting ready to do that, but he literally passed out, and then that's whenever he ends up in the hospital bed.
But see, that's a samurai thing. I don't think ninjas do that. Although it is called The Last Ronin, so maybe that's, you know, he's taking on a more literal samurai code. But, yeah, so he wakes up in a hospital bed, and who's there to greet him but April. And that's where it ends. But really enjoyed this.
Yeah, and that's when we find out that it, because throughout the whole issue, we don't know who it is until she's just like, oh, thank goodness you're awake, Mikey, or Michelangelo.
Yeah.
And that's whenever, that's how you find out.
Well, that's it. The other clue was he had size, he had katanas, he had a bow.
But he didn't have nunchucks. Yeah.
He had tonfas. Which I think is what he had in the British version. Because nunchucks are illegal over there. But
I know they had to call him something else. Like I think
they
it was
were
over
called in... Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, they had to call him something else. Because
apparently ninja is also forbidden.
Yeah.
That's what I read.
Alright. Let's see. I read G.I. Joe number 9.
You're still on that. Okay. I remember you didn't like... You liked the story, but you didn't like the art. Wasn't that it from the beginning?
No.
Oh, okay. Maybe I'm wrong.
I don't think so. The art on this has been really consistent.
Okay.
So in this one, we see what I'm assuming is the past, but it's G.I. Joe is in a war with Cobra, and this is like, it seems like it's early on in the war. It could be, like, I could see it being current, and these are just Joes we haven't seen before, but I think it's like in the past, before the Cobra takeover. And it starts out, and Heavy Duty gets a gut shot. And from here, it is like just a murdering of classic Joes.
So it's like the first 10 minutes of Transformers the movie, where you wipe them out wholesale.
So this whole issue is basically just Tunnel Rat trying to escape. And through the process of this, Heavy Duty gets a gut shot. Ripcord gets a headshot, like, before he even hits the ground, because Ripcord is like a
paratrooper.
He gets shot in the head before he hits the ground. There's a gender-swapped dial tone, so it's a girl instead of a guy, Dialtone gets electrocuted.
Irony.
Yeah. There's a what looks like a race swapped gridiron, because it's in the original Joe. It's Captain Gridiron.
Yeah, because he played football for West Point.
Yeah, and he's like a white guy from the Midwest, but the way it was colored, it looked like they just called him Gridiron, so it's not Captain Gridiron. So they might have just shorthanded it, or it might be a different character in this universe. But like,
did he have a football helmet style?
No, he didn't. He was just.
Okay. Well, he was just kind of blown in pieces, so yeah. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, he gets shot in the chest. Dusty, like, it happens off screen, but it basically looks like he's gonna grenade himself, like, to let Tunnel Rat escape. And then, so Tunnel Rat gets away, he gets to the ship where Shipwreck is there to pick him up, and Shipwreck's like, where is everybody? And he's like, they didn't make it. So it's this whole long story that was actually really good, like... It reminded me a lot.
Unless
of,
you like Classic Joes, because they all died.
But it was done very much in the style of like those Classic Joe issues, where it's just like, let's pack all the action in, and yeah, this series has been really, really good. Let's see. I also read X of Swords.
I read
Stasis,
that.
Yeah.
Or Ten of Swords, if you want to
be calm.
Not cool.
Yeah.
So this,
but there's only 9 swords on the X-Men side, or the Krakoa side.
No, there's I want to say Rogan, but that's not it. The ninja guy, and the white and red.
There were only 9. I know who you're talking about, but there were only 9.
No, I think there's 10, and he's the 9th. He's the 10th. Do you want to? Yeah, grab an issue.
On Dasher, on Dancer.
I can't. I'm not gonna be able to name them all.
Happy, Doc, Sleepy, Sneezy.
I'd really hope if they started doing like they did in the '90s and have that first page just like.
Well, they
do
have those. Oh, there's like that one page of white where they show.
I know how to help you.
There's one person on that list that makes no sense.
He handed him an X of Swords book.
Oh, you mean Saturn Eye?
Yeah. How can she be one of the X-Men?
But she's not. But that's not.
Okay, then there's only 9.
No, let's see. Who are they missing?
I don't know.
There's 9 of Swords.
So it should be IX of Swords.
No, Storm's not on here.
Okay, why isn't Storm on there then? Because hang on.
I don't know, because Storm doesn't appear in the issue. Or she does.
She does.
Yeah, but Storm.
But there was another place where I noticed that there were only 9. So hang on. So keep
Gorgon
talking.
Is the guy's name.
Yes, Gorgon.
Now I've completely. But they didn't show him getting a sword.
Yeah,
he has a sword.
He just has it.
Yeah,
he's kind of like.
One. But it's so anticlimactic because everybody else was like.
And him and Magic, they were the only ones who didn't do anything because they already had their swords.
All right.
There you go. So they're in the Upside Down in that picture. Count them.
Turn the Upside Down?
Oh. It's the bad guys standing, and then underneath them are their counterparts.
Oh, okay. I thought there was like Demogorgon and.
If you look at the picture, you'll understand.
Well, it's 9, but.
Yes, thank you. There's
missing...
9 swords.
But who are they missing?
The count swords. 9 swords.
Oh well, one of the people looking down. Oh no, that's.
See the problem?
Well, it's not a. There are 10. I'm just trying to figure out who they left out.
Nightcrawler?
But why would you leave somebody out of that particular picture?
Maybe they just get photographed well.
Yeah.
Because I saw the 9 on that on the white page, the one of many white pages. Too much reading. I looked at that picture very closely, and when I counted how many X-Men were, there were 9. I'm like, okay, I'm just flat out confused now. And then you need to know your tarot cards to understand what's going on.
A little bit too much work in this book.
There was a lot of work in reading this book. The art was beautiful. I will say the art was fantastic.
Yeah.
Well,
I mean, there's a lot of story. There's a lot going on there.
So,
but yeah, I'm sure Jermaine's screaming at me right now.
But they...
Well, in the future, Jermaine will be screaming it.
Well, he should call in then. And
maybe next week he'll call in to explain to me who the X of Swords are.
Does he have an English accent? I mean, I know he's a black guy. I know he's a black guy from North Carolina.
He does not.
But, like, if you call yourself Lord Retail, I kind of expect a British accent.
No accent, sorry.
Jermaine, if you call in, have a British accent. Work on it this week.
No, you're right. It is not. Because there's only 9 tarot cards.
Accent.
Yeah. What's that?
I read his tweets with a British accent.
No. I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah, so...
What the...
Well, because originally, because there were those 9 and Saturnine, and I'm like, Saturnine can't be one of the 10... Because she's running the whole thing. She can't suddenly join one side. I mean, I guess she could, but that just seems odd.
Why? Referees do it with the Patriots games all the time. You
want to talk about the Eagles?
What's that?
I watched that debacle.
Hey.
But so back to the plot of the book.
I watched the third quarter.
They kind of, the first part of the book, they go around basically showing you world parts of Otherworld and talking
right,
about
and who
how,
the bad guys were, yeah, introducing all the bad guys.
They introduce all the people and their swords, and they kind of talk about like the political system of how like they don't like people traveling from one part to another, and that's kind of an issue.
Well, yeah, they had a vote to allow, and they said, no, you're not allowed to go. And then there's some people that we don't really know who they are yet, or they don't even know who they are. Well, they know, but the other people don't know who they
Which,
are.
Which is kind of my beef with a lot of the stuff that Hickman has done, and maybe, like, eventually it'll pay off, but I feel like he plants a lot of seeds that are nothing.
But you shouldn't have to read 150 issues of something for... I mean, that was a thing we all bitched about with Tom King.
But the thing about X-Men, especially the Claremont run, Claremont wrote that thing for, like...
But it had different right. But it had different stories coming and going. There was an ebb and a flow.
But if you read for like the whole time, you were rewarded with references early that paid off late.
Right. But I feel like with Hickman is, you forgot this little subplot in issue 2 and 3, and now in issue 75, that was the whole understanding.
That was
the whole point. It's like,
because that was the whole thing when the Infinity, when he was doing the Avengers run for as long as he did.
But it was interesting. They all got tarot cards, and then it explained the tarot cards after. So, I mean, it was very interesting, but it was just like a whole lot of...
That's too much work.
There was a lot of work. I really needed a flow chart and notes.
Yeah, when I got to open...
I did enjoy how she kind of toyed with Apocalypse a little bit. That was kind of fun.
Yeah, let's talk about that, because I feel like this is... It's a beat from earlier in the story that is... It's just repetitive. So... They each get their tarot card from Saturnine when they come finally over another world. And that, you know, like Cable gets the Fool card, and like it.
Wolverine gets pain? Strength?
Something like that.
Something,
He's being.
Yeah, Storm gets death.
Yeah.
But it's like, and then it explains the cards, and it doesn't, and it's like, that's not necessarily what it really means.
Yeah. One you don't see, which is like the mystery card.
Right. Because they turned it over and it was blank on both sides.
And then you
wild
think.
Card.
You think you're not going to see Apocalypse.
That's Doug Henning.
He sees it and he gets pissed off. He crumbles it up.
Right.
And then
that makes her mad because he ruined the card.
Yeah, so she goes to see Saturnine and he's like, are you messing with me? And she's like, why'd you ruin my card? And she heals the card. She brings it back. And we see that his is like the romance
or the lovers
or whatever.
What I liked about was her comment going, you've been around so long, I didn't think you would be impatient. I thought that was a really neat little line to him, and it was like putting him in his place a little bit, which I enjoyed.
But my issue is...
Bitch, please.
So one of the characters, because we saw his wife, what she looks like earlier in the series, but we didn't know she was one of the 10, because she's been wearing this mask that I guess gives her like...
But that mask appeared in a prior issue where like somebody put it on and it like drained all their energy and their essence. So all of a sudden, she shows up wearing this mask. I'm like, what?
And she takes it off, and he does another one of those double takes, like where he's like, whoa?
Yeah.
And it's a very, like, it's like literally the exact same panel that he had when he saw his kids. And it's the kind of thing where it's like, don't do the same thing twice. Yeah. Don't make his reaction to that twice.
And he came back here, why wouldn't he expect to find them?
Yeah, well, like,
you know,
that's the thing. Like, he kind of assumed that they were dead. He built a temple to them, had the caskets for them, but he didn't have a casket for his wife. He wasn't seemingly mourning her loss. So I feel like...
Well, because they had issues. No, sorry.
But I feel like that's what, how they should have handled this.
They were in therapy.
Like, he should have seen her, you know, lovers and had those two embracing. And then when he gets back and sees her, he should be, like, upset that she's not dead. Like, you know, what are you doing here? You
right. Know, you, I paid good you money to have you killed.
You set me away from my children or something like that. Like, it should be, like, it should be a point of conflict. It shouldn't be this, like, oh, you're actually alive. Because I just feel like they are telegraphing that, like, Apocalypse is going to basically become a turncoat, I think. And end up...
Join his kids and wife.
Like, join his kids and wife.
And they just close the gate and let him stay over
like,
there.
And then that's like a, you know... So I kind of foresee that happening. So, you know, who knows? Who knows? But this series has been really good. I just... This was... the pacing of this is odd because this one was like on fast forward compared to the pace we've been used to where we're all over the place.
Yeah, so it takes an entire issue to find a sword and now...
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, here are these other 10 swords and let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but, and this is the middle point of at least the series. It's, if you read the intros, it's, we're a little further than that, but I don't know. It's good and I'm going to read the whole thing, which, you know, I think... That's a win for.
At this point, you're committed.
Well, it's good.
Okay.
This was the first book I read when I, you know, got home. So, yeah.
What you explain is too much work for me.
But that's part of the appeal.
Yeah. No, I thought the issue was good and it was nice. You know, there was a lot going on. It wasn't like that Marauders issue that just felt like filler. With Storm going to get that sword, there was a lot going on, and I'm not sure who's the artist in that one. Pepe Larraz. I thought the art was excellent throughout the whole issue.
Yeah, this is the bone-in chicken, right? If you want, if you want chicken nuggets, this isn't the book for you. Yeah. But if you want to like really dig in, and
I like chicken nuggets. Screw you.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's I don't know. That's the last one I remember reading. So, Spencer.
Nail Biter Returns number 6. So in the last issue we found out that Warren and the sheriff from the previous series, when they were younger, they were the ones who kind of came up with the idea for this game, but it was just kind of like a game that they were, them and their friends made in like one of their basements as they were like drinking and smoking and stuff like that. And it's like, you know, like, I would think like the blonde would kill like the one of the other butchers this way, and like you get points for coming up with cool creative ways. So somebody, and they had it like written on this like chalkboard down in the basement. So either like somebody that they played that game with, or you know somebody in the town found that chalkboard. So they go back to Buckaroo to try to figure out what's going on, but it's all nobody lives there anymore because in the last series it all got burned down in a big fire and stuff like that. So they're trying to look through the rubble, and the fake Warren ends up escaping and they lose him and stuff like that. I can't really remember how it ends up going. I think it's just that they get split up, but it's just I'm happy to see that this is going on. I was worried that whenever they announced that it was just going to be just like a mini series, you know, and then, you know, they were just going to do a mini series and it was just going to be over. But it seems like it's going to be going on for a little bit. So that was pretty good. And then I read Batman Superman number 13. This is the second part of the Brainiac story where... Batwoman and Steel show up to try to rescue Batman and Superman. And, you know, Batman gets mad because he tries to, you know, he's like, I, you know, left a message for nobody to try to follow us. But then the message got sent to them. So it was Brainiac, you know, messing with it, sending the message to make them show up. And then so like they're all fighting different kind of like Brainiac versions of Batman and Superman's villains. He's like a robot Riddler kind of thing, and you know, Batman gives him like a really hard riddle to try to figure out, and it causes him to like his circuits to like short out, and he can escape that way. And they keep on just bringing out these villains, and you know, they're supposed to show like a different kind of like side of Batman, and Batman's like, why don't you just cut to the chase and, you know, bring out the Joker? So they bring out the Joker, but with it, even though that's a like robotic version of the Joker, it's still the Joker. So the Joker turns on the Brainiac robot and just kind of does his own thing, causing enough distraction for them to kind of separate for a little bit. And they try to leave, but it doesn't work out. And then the Brainiac sends like this mashup robot version of Batman and Superman to, I'm not sure if it's Gotham or Metropolis. It kind of looks like Metropolis, but to, you know, a big city, causes a big crater in the ground when it lands and stuff like that. Just another good, just kind of standalone kind of series, especially if you like either one of the characters, you know, it's just a good kind of just standalone thing that doesn't really tie into anything else too much. The Flash, 764, this issue, the Flash is dealing with the Alchemist, who's like a, I guess, an older villain who is able, he has like this the Philosopher's Stone that he's able to, that this guy's able to use to change like the, like the matter, like the chemical things into like, you know, things into like metal or whatever. He can wield it that way, so it's easy for him to like escape and stuff like that, or do different things. So the Flash is having a real hard time taking him out because he's more in tune with the power, and he's trying to make a ring or like a big like harness thing that he can just wear so it's easier for him to use. So Barry Ashe has to do like research on like the old like alchemist and like the Freemasons and like that kind of stuff, and he shows up and he's able to stop him with like a lightning bolt, but the effects that it had is at the end of the issue, Flash either like he loses his abilities or the guy takes him away because he goes to try to stop him, and like he's, you know, not moving anywhere near as fast, and the guy, you know, just, you know, punches him in the gut and stuff, and the Flash falls to the floor. So somehow he was able to affect Flash's powers. So that's how this issue ended. So I guess we're in the future, we'll have to, you know, see how, what, you know, Flash gets his power, like if it's a permanent thing or if he gets them back, you know, just naturally or whatever. And then the last thing I'll talk about is Amazing Spider-Man 51.
Mike didn't read it yet, sir.
No. Last issue, it was like, you see how he, you know, he goes to the Doctor Strange for help. So, because the other, everybody else in the Spider family are taken over by, like, these, kindred, possessed, versions of themselves. So the Silk One, shows up at Doctor Strange's, house and attacks them, and they're trying to stop her. She ends up getting away. And then, Doctor Strange shows him this, I forget what it's called, but it really looks like it's just like a severed hand. It almost kind of gave like a evil monkey paw kind of feel to it. Like, I don't know, like if you can use the thing.
Five wishes.
Yeah, like you can use it to, you know, it gives you power to do stuff, but you know, it always finds a way to, you know, screw you at the end kind of deal. I'm not sure if that's what they're going with or not. But he kind of has to end up stealing that. And he's on the run again, and this issue ends up with him on the doorstep of the cops, and on the doorstep of Black Cat with the thing. So that should be interesting moving forward, because I hate to see what she's able to do with something like that. I think this is, it seems like another weird, another weird like dream version of where Spider-Man's in is like in this grave and he keeps on getting sucked down to the ground and he eventually comes up in like this like underground mausoleum thing with Kindred and then Aurora sitting around the table of like the skeletons of all these people that Spider-Man has let down, like Gwen Stacy and her dad and the just different people that, you know, like kind of died from the things that he did. So, but that was it.
First issue of Colonel Weird, Cosmogog.
Good, according to Mike.
I will expand on this.
What?
Expound.
There was more.
but it was good. Colonel Weird's one of the Black Hammer heroes.
He's the guy from, because I only read the first trade.
Black Hammer. He's kind of the loopy, floaty guy.
He's Doctor Strange, or not Doctor Strange. He's Stephen Strange of that universe. But he's like,
something went wrong. Yeah, like, yeah. He's not all there.
Yeah, he's not all there. This is kind of this seems to be like an origin story for Colonel Weird. But he's become detached from time. So it's jumping around at different points in his life. It starts out with him in the desolate area. There's just a gas station there. He doesn't know where he is. And he goes into the gas station and he asks for a soda pop. And then he kind of he imagines himself as a little kid doing the same thing. And he's jumping around through time. He's with goes to the Black Hammer heroes when they're up against the Anti-God, which was in one of the books. And then it shows him on his first rocket ship trip when he discovered the Parazone. And it's really good. Art, and what it is he's lost like the pattern. There's some kind of pattern he has in his mind that allows him to navigate space time, and he's trying to find that again, because he's a little loopy. And it's really good. The art by Tyler Crook. It's like this watercolor art. It's really nice. The Autumnal.
I like that. Yes.
Did you read that?
I did.
Great. Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, it was.
I'm not sure what the book's about yet.
Well, it's this girl who moved away, got pregnant, and having trouble. Her kid is having trouble at school in the first one, and she's kind of rebellious too. Mom dies. She has to go back home where she apparently like ran away a long time ago and got out and hasn't spoke to mom. And she has to go back. And at the end of the first issue, there's something like the girl was about to pick up a leaf. And there's a guy raking, and he wouldn't let her pick up the leaf. Said, don't touch that. When she went to the funeral home, she said she wanted an open casket, but it was closed. And she opened the casket, and mom had like all these leaves coming out of her mouth and everything. And the lady came and closed the casket very quickly. So that's how issue one ended.
Yeah.
This one starts where, like, they go to the funeral, nobody else is there.
Yeah, then they have to sleep in the park.
Right, and the girl was running and jumping in mud, but there were leaves around, and a guy kind of shows up and just gives him his car. Says, here, it's a beater old car, but, you know, you can have it. And they sleep in the car.
They're waiting until the next day to get the keys to her mother's house.
It was at the funeral that they got the keys,
Right.
Okay. And so then they get the keys, they go, and there's two people in the house with rakes, and they were raking the yard. And they're, like, called the rakers. You know, really weird. Yeah. And so she kind of kicks them out.
Yeah. She rakes herself, and she rakes the leaves, and these two weird twins come up.
Yeah.
And she invites them to jump in the leaves.
Yeah, she was trying to encourage her daughter to jump in the pile of leaves, and the daughter's like, why?
Yeah.
Sounds dumb. So the kids do, the other kids go and jump in the leaves, and then their mom shows up.
And she's like,
pissed off.
Why, don't you believe in protecting these children?
Yeah, and then like she punches the main lady. But yeah, no, it's good. Yeah, there's something up with the leaves.
It's really,
and at one point, they were in the park, just sitting there, and she thought she heard something and turned with the knife, and there was nothing there except leaves.
Right.
Yeah. So it's good and creepy.
Yeah, the atmosphere of the book is really good.
Yeah.
And I read Chew.
Okay.
Number four.
Oh, you only read number one.
I finally...
Did you read that? Any?
I didn't. I haven't read any of this series, but I finally this week finished the last volume of the old series.
Okay. Okay.
So I figured I'm going to wait.
Oh, you're talking EW Chew, yeah. Not U Chew.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so I figured, what, this has like one more issue or something left in it,
something,
I think.
Yeah.
So I figured I'd just wait. I've been picking up the issues, but I figured I'd just wait till the last issue, and then I can kind of just sit down and, you know, take it all, finish it all at once, kind of sort of deal.
I mentioned it before, but this is a prequel to that. But in this issue, they, Saffron Chew and her buddy, they just killed a hitman, and they're trying to get disposed of the body. And they first they go to this farm to try to give it to this guy who has hogs that will eat the body. But the farmer doesn't want to take them because this avian flu just started, and he doesn't want to, his pigs to get sick. So they take it to this aquarium, and so the guy, the shark keeper, can feed it to the sharks. And the guy in the guy at the aquarium, he ends up falling in the shark tank and is eaten by the shark. And Tony and his partner Colby come to investigate. And Tony takes a bite of the foot that was recovered from the shark, so he could get a psychic impression of what's going on, of what happened to this guy. But he has to hide that from, it's interesting because he has to hide that from his partner, because his partner doesn't know about that yet, about his abilities yet, which he does know in the other Chew series, EW. Tony gets an impression that somebody who looks like his sister, but he's not exactly sure. And then it ends with another Sunday dinner at the Chew residence. And Tony comes up and he knows it was his sister, and they both pull guns on each other. And the last panel is bang. So pretty good cliffhanger to see what happens in the next issue with that. It's a lot of fun. The series is a lot of fun, and especially if you've read the original. And Pat, did you read Captain Ginger yet, or are you gonna read that?
No, I bought it, but I didn't read it.
Okay,
I didn't get to it yet.
I'll hold off on that then.
Oh, you burned through the whole trade.
I burned through it. It was fantastic.
Okay, I'll definitely read it
but,
this week.
Okay, we'll save that for next week then.
Yeah, the Eagles got a bye week, so I'll definitely read it this weekend.
Okay, I couldn't put it down. It was so good.
You want Nick Foles back? Oh, sorry.
Couldn't do any worse.
True.
At least you didn't double doink this time.
No, true.
That's it.
Okay. Detective 1029?
Yeah,
okay.
I left it for other people.
Okay, yeah, I actually thought that was good. I hadn't read an issue of Detective in a while. But it's Bruce kind of moving out. And then there's this other group kind of gunning for him with the mirror. I'm like, the mirror, that sounds very familiar. Wasn't that in Watchmen?
Looking Glass.
But yes,
he reminded me of Looking Glass.
The only difference is his whole suit.
Right. Oh, yeah. Totally different. Okay. Got it. But basically they're trying to expose all the masks. And so Bruce decides to go more or less undercover as Bruce Wayne and figures he can do more as Bruce Wayne than he could as Batman. So he's on a fundraiser on a boat, and they get hijacked, and he calls in Nightwing. It's a fundraiser for the new mayor. Or mayoral candidate. Who is a police officer who got injured during
officer
the Joker War.
Yeah.
So Nightwing shows up and saves him. And even
is
then.
Ironic that his mother would have named him that.
And then they didn't even thank Nightwing. He's like, yo, you're still a criminal. And Nightwing's like, yeah, whatever.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, have a nice day.
That mayor guy is clearly part of the cult.
Yes. Yeah. He might even be. The mirror.
There's a lot of culture.
That would make sense if he's Looking Glass, because he only has one eye.
Ah.
Well, he should have a glass eye.
Oh, but maybe he will. It's just too early.
I don't know.
Joker War just ended.
If I would never lose an eye on purpose, but if I could rock the eye patch look, I'd certainly do that. You look badass.
And I'd go with the Columbo eye.
Oh, there you go.
But see, if you got a glass eye, people may not notice it. If you got an eye patch, they know there's a story.
True.
You
could do the Last Action Hero thing, where the guy from the guy from Game of Thrones, he's a villain in that, and he's got an eye. He's got a glass eye, and he like. He changes it out, so it's like an eight ball, it's a snake eye, it's,
okay.
Like, it's a smiley face.
Okay, well, yeah, I mean, there's a story
there. Mirror eye. Oh, no, that would give it away. Sorry. Yeah. But then later, Batman, like, there's like a bank heist, and they have the bank manager, and he's chasing them on the bat bike, and somebody shoots out his tire, like they knew we were going. There was a guy from the mirror guys group. Yeah. And shoots it up, but Batman has to keep going to save the bank manager.
Yeah, he's just like, I wonder who did that.
Yeah, but then he keeps going, he's kind of knows somebody's onto it. So I thought it was a decent Batman book.
What was up with his ears, though?
Yeah, that was weird. Like, yeah. That was weird.
And they're like, and it's not obvious from the art what he's doing, right. So they have to explain it.
And he puts
like,
it back.
He's reclining his seat!
Yeah.
He shoots him in the weirdest way, because he hits one in the... Like the right hand and the other one in the right shoulder, and I'm like,
How did he aim those?
Yeah, yeah, that was dumb.
Because Batman.
I agree. Yeah. See, Shadow Service 3. This is that interesting about the girl who started knowing like magic words just as a kid. They were just came into her head, and this is continuing her story. She's learning more about this magical police force, for want of a better word. And what's going on. Really good. And she's trying to say, like, they're trying to figure out something, and she's kind of committed to trying to save this guy. So they finally catch up with him. And it turns out he has a demon inside of him. And so in order to save him, she takes the demon inside of her. So that was an interesting end. And then the last one I read was Giga, number one. This one, it was really promoted by Vault. Alex Pacnadel, I believe, was the writer on this. Basically... Long ago, these giant mechs came and saved the planet. I'm guessing it's a whole planet, but at least this area. And then once the threat was done, they just kind of shut down and invited the people to come live inside them. They're doing like this class in one, and the teacher asked the guy who's in a wheelchair what happened. And he basically says it's basically like an ecosystem. We're here, we repair them, we feed them, we clean them, we keep them going. And that's why they let us stay here. Kind of like, you know, like the fish in the ocean that let the ones feed off them. And that helps keep them clean and things. And then they're like, well, where's your friend? I don't know. She was in a class this morning. Well, friend's up on the top of the Giga planting a bomb, and it blows up the Giga. So now this guy is basically ostracized from the school, when the school was like teaching people to be like military in this time. And now we're 15 years later. And he's kind of having to scrounge for... scrap metal to then sell to get food credits and things, and trying to figure out exactly what is going on. And he's with someone else who's trying to help, and he has created, or he's found this like robot that he's trying to fix, but he realized the robot's corroding, and so he has to go try to find new parts. And it goes into an abandoned Giga that wasn't in a city. It was called a Nomad because it was just kind of in the woods. It didn't settle down into a city. And at the end, they're climbing into it, and there's this cult that they think this girl was part of 15 years ago. And they're like, well, don't worry, they don't go inside the Gigas, it's part of their thing. And you see them going in the mouth of the giant mech, and they're in waiting to ambush them. So that's where it ended. But it was good. It was interesting. That's all I got.
Did you read Suicide Squad?
I did not. It's in the pile. I just kind of, I didn't really have a plan of attack other than, like, I wanted to read the Exoswords in The Last Ronin, because I knew Pat was all giddy about it, because he texted me going, that was really good! So,
it's the, I think it's the penultimate.
Yes, there's only one more. Ending in 11, which is weird.
Yeah, don't go to 12.
Right.
Which would make an even number for trades, but nah.
Because has any of it came out in trades yet?
First one might be out. I'm not 100% sure.
Because I wanted to check it out.
It's good. I've really enjoyed it. I'm really sad.
Yeah,
I'm sad to see it go, because I like these new characters, and I don't see how they could use them elsewhere. Yeah. Unless they all die at the end.
Maybe.
Go ahead.
Maybe. No, well, I don't want to spoil it too much because you can read it in like 4 minutes.
Okay.
But we'll talk about the last issue.
Okay. So we good? We done? This is a quick one. No, we're over an hour. No, we're okay.
We didn't even have to pattern or nothing.
No. So, oh!
What's coming out next week, Colin?
Okay.
Well, hell, you didn't even tell... Oh, well, here's where you can find me. The second best bookstore in all of Pittsburgh. See, now you gotta prompt you to plug your own store.
Hey, man, I'm tired. It's been a day.
But that reminds me. I came up with an idea for if you're ever looking for, like, a month thing and you need something to just fill it in. Since you got second place in your thing... Double points on second volumes to celebrate your second place.
I like that. I like that. That might be December. There we go. Well, speaking of next week, we have a number two. No. American Vampire 1976 number two is next week.
What DC thing's coming out?
Dark Knight's Death Metal Infinite Hours XXX Extreme number one.
Is it extreme?
They exhaust me.
That really sounds like a 90s
Sounds like
thing.
Their marketing.
Well, that's with the Bastich. We got Detective 1030. The Belquist Evely cover. That's going to be cool. Hawkman 29. That's the last issue of Hawkman. Punchline Special. I know everybody's excited about this one. Wow, you guys all jump in there. That's all we got from DC. Coming from the rest, we have Spider-Man 52 and 52.LR. Because why go weekly when you can ship two a week? Yeah. We got American Ronin number two. That's from AWA. Billionaire Island graphic novel is out. Excalibur is a Nine of Swords tie-in. Getting It Together. I know you're excited about number two on that one, Brandon. Hellboy and the BPRD, the Seven Wives Club. Those always do well. Iron Man number three. Kick-Ass versus Hit Girl number one. This is Steve Niles is actually writing this one.
He's been writing the Kick-Ass series.
Okay, yeah, with Marcelo Frusen.
Yeah.
Marauders 15 is a Nine of Swords. Marvel Action Chillers number one. This is a weekly horror series from IDW. Good timing to come out 2 weeks after Halloween. Good job, guys.
Can't plan these things.
You can't plan these.
Well,
things.
Well, that's like I was telling Tim, like what I wanted to give for that the second volume of that Doc Red to come out. Last week. That would have been...
Yep. Can't plan these things. Miskatonic is coming out next week. This is from Aftershock. And it's basically playing with all the Lovecraftian stuff. Power Rangers number one is next week. We got Mighty Morphin this week. And then we get Power Rangers next week. Resident Alien, Your Ride's Here number one. This is going to be a TV show. I've been seeing... previews about for forever. It's got Alan Tudyk is playing the lead. I don't know which streaming service it's on, but this is like the fourth or fifth Resident Alien series.
Oh yeah, I think I have that trade.
Yeah, it's about an alien that gets kind of stuck on Earth and becomes the doctor in this small town, and then this one kid can actually see his true form as an alien.
I read the first
glasses.
Yeah, basically the kid just has natural day look glasses.
Uh-huh, okay.
Scarenthood, this is from IDW. This is about if your job is fighting off demons, but you also got to make sure you get your kid to school on time.
Yeah.
So, what's more important for saving the world or getting your kid to your homework?
Problems, Colin.
It is. So, Seven Secrets, number four.
Yeah.
That's a good book.
I feel like Boom is really like... hitting their stride.
Well, it's funny because one of their big things at the meeting back in February was how they were really excited about a bunch of books this year because they'd gotten some good talent to write. Not that they haven't had good talent, but they got Tom Taylor to write Seven Secrets. They have We Only Get Them When They're Dead by Al Ewing. They had that James Tinian Wind. I forget what the other one was. They felt they really had some really good books coming. So.
That's good too.
With Kieran Gillen. So
and
yeah,
and then the one that came out this week, I'm excited to read Origins. I think. It's
yeah,
called.
That sounded interesting. I really you guys know, just because we just filmed the TV show, so I know everything coming out. AI destroyed humanity 1,000 years ago, and now a robot or whatever it is, brought back David Adams, who is the guy who created the AI, and now his job is to stop the AI. And so I thought that was a neat idea. And his last name is Adams. I'm like, oh, aren't you guys clever? Taskmaster number one is next week. You know, tie in with the Black Widow movie. We only find them when they're dead. Number three is next week. And Wolverine number seven is a Nine of Swords tie in. So that's what we got. Let's see. Oh, we're doing Image for November. I just thought that was a good one to do just for variety. There's a whole ton of variety for Image. So come try something new since it's a good time to be sitting at home reading. As always, Pittsburgh Comics is the website, Pittsburgh Comics on Facebook, and PGH Comics on Twitter and Instagram. So, Dave!
That's the podcast.
We will talk at you next week. See ya.